You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with John Gibby, Ross Briley and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Busy day as well, four meetings in the afternoon, two on the flat, two over jumps. It's Haydock and Redcar on the turf and Fakenham and Wincanton over the obstacles, and an evening of all weather action from Newcastle and Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by none other than Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in terrific form. Had a lovely day at Weatherby yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Return of the jumps.
Return of the jumps. A shame, really, that it wasn't better supported, because the actual ground, I walked it, track looked superb, beautiful, fantastic cover of grass. It was possibly on the faster side of good, but it was nothing that you'd imagine could have done anything, any damage.
But
a real shame about that. But it just now feels for me that the jump season is starting to kick into gear, sort of thing.
Yeah, we've got a couple of jumps meetings coming up on Friday. You're more of a jumps man at heart, aren't you?
So this time of year,
we're getting the back end flat stuff. We're counting down to the Charlie Hall and the good jump stuff coming back. Cheltenham's not far away for their opening meeting.
It's all coming back. I don't think you can call it that open meeting anymore, you know.
Well, it's not the open meeting. This one's the showcase meeting, actually.
Is it in October?
Yeah.
Not the November one that used to be the open one.
Yeah, now it's the November meeting.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? Calling it that in November.
Yeah. Well, who knows anymore?
Good move. Well done to them. But yeah, who knows? But again, a great day. We spinal research day yesterday at Weatherby for the 28th time.
For a good cause, isn't it?
Yeah, and we raised over 40,000. So
very good.
Fantastic.
Nice. You're part of that, aren't you?
Like, I am indeed, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff, good cause. In terms of this weekend's racing, Pimmy, we'll just start with a little bit of a glance towards Ascot, because we mentioned that the jumps are coming back, but we've got a superb card to look forward to at Ascot, of course, British Champions Day. Always seems to be on testing ground nowadays, or since its inception, really, and it looks like we're going to get more of the same this weekend.
I mean, it's amazing how it's changed, isn't it, really, because, everywhere was pretty quick, and then we had that deluge at the weekend. And I think, again, what you've had, though, is because these tracks have had to water so much in the summer to maintain something like safe racing ground, obviously then when you've got this rain, it's just topped it up, whereas likes of Weatherby hasn't watered much in the summer, obviously, because it hardly had any meetings.
Yeah.
And then it's taken the rain far better. So it looks like we're going to race on soft ground, according to the clerk of the course there. They've got it 3 dry days prior to that, but he doesn't feel that it's going to change the ground at all.
Yeah, it's supposed to be drying out. Current going at the moment, as we record this, on the straight course it's soft, heavy in places, and on the round course it's heavy, soft in places. So it's going to be a fair test. But
it is.
But then again, we expect this every year now at Ascot for this meeting, so it's no real surprise.
Yeah, your worry is it might just get gluey, tacky.
If it starts to dry.
And that might be the worst of the evils, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd rather be racing on genuinely soft ground rather than tacky, sticky, because that can catch one or two out.
Yeah. Some superb racing to look forward to. We're going to look at two races on the card. Because they kind of tie together, really, Roaring Lion was declared for both the QE2, well, was in the early, the 5-day decks for the QE2 and the Champion Stakes. Roaring Lion's best form this season has been over a mile and a quarter. He goes to the QE2, though, which is the Group 1 over a mile, possibly, to keep him apart from Cracksman, who's bidding for a second success in the Champion Stakes in a row. But we'll separate the two races. We'll look at them individually. Roaring Lion is the favourite for the QE2 at 5-2. 5-1 for Lord Glitters. 5-1 for Recoletos. Lawrence is 11-2. 6-1 for Adeb. Beat the Bank is 14s with Happily, and 16s or bigger for the others. I suppose whichever race he turned up in, he was going to be towards the head of the market. What do you make of Roaring Lion over a mile?
The only thing that I would say is, with these connections, they will know, if you know what I mean. I think they will say to themselves, like, listen, do we want to take Cracksman on? Or do we think that actually this guy's got enough speed to win over a mile? He's obviously got his stable companion in there as well, Lightning Spear, who's a Group 1 winner himself this year. But like Roaring Lion, again, on all official ratings, is head and shoulders above these. So you'd like to think that he might be able to get away with it over a mile in Group 1 company. You know, it's a big ask for me, but I do feel that really and truly, he is by far the best horse in the race. And you'd like to imagine that more than likely, Lightning Spear, as I say, a Group 1 winner in his own right, but he might just be there to force the pace.
Yeah, make it a real test.
Yeah. 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 So that your man, Roaring Lion's stamina kicks in a little bit. Again, you've got that incline as well to the line at Ascot. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. And I suppose John Gosden and his team will be saying, well, you know, there's a chance that Roaring Lion will be fine over the mile. There's no chance that really Cracksman would be fine over the mile. And they've got favourite in both races.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's more than likely the way they've looked at it and talked about it and decided to go that way. My concern with Cracksman is I'm not sure he's just entirely in love with the job at the minute. You know, he's been a bit twitchy and iffy at going down to post, hasn't he? And he's been a little bit, not unruly, but a bit fractious down at the start and stuff.
Yeah. Question marks.
Yeah, they've gone for the blinkers, which is interesting. Seemingly, I read the Gallup report in the Racing Post this morning. He cantered on the Alba Hatry yesterday without the headgear on. So they've obviously had the headgear on him at some stage on the gallops. It's going to be his last run, isn't it? So I suppose he'll be throwing all caution to the wind, hoping that he can put back-to-back wins in the Champion Stakes.
Yeah, he's 4-5 favourite to win the Champion Stakes for a second year in succession. Crystal Ocean 5-2, 6-1 for Capri. Monarch Glen 12-1, 16 for Verbal Dexterity, and 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. Would you side with him at 4-5? I suppose that's a question.
I wouldn't normally, but for me, John Gosden sways it every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously, Gosden's well represented in the race with Maverick Wave and Monarch's Glen. And obviously, they're taking the chance because it's a big, big race. There's plenty of prize money on offer right down the line. Mm. And, you know, it's a golden opportunity for them to pick up some handsome prize money. Because I think once you take away Sir Michael Stoutrun, a Crystal Queen. Crystal Ocean, should I say.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of strength in depth in
the
race.
No, I would agree with that, yeah.
So, you know, I think it's Cracksman's to lose rather than to win, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If he turns up with the blinkers.
Yeah. That's and we could be looking at this afterwards and saying the Cracksman Roaring Lion double was the most, you know, we missed out by not going with that.
Well, I think that's the case that, you know, you'd stick with them, but they're both favourite.
Yeah.
You know.
Could have a real good day there as well, John Gosden, because he's got Stradivarius in the staying race, I think, as well on the card. I'll just double check that, but I'm almost certain that's the case. Long Distance Cup, Stradivarius, yeah, in there as well. So yeah. It could be a good day for
him. Oh, fantastic, fantastic day's racing. As you say, is this going to be the norm now for it to run on ground with plenty of cut in it?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what we've...
Having said all that, this year, very few races, if any, have been run with lots of cut, has there?
Yeah, it's been a very dry summer, hasn't it?
Correct,
really?
Yeah, really dry.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look back to when Frankel was running on Champions Day, there was, will he go on heavy ground or testing conditions? It's, for the whole time this meeting's been here at Ascot, it's been that way. So, what we do see every year is superb racing, and the star horses perform, which is good.
Yeah. The only thing is, I've been a bit rude there as well, because I forgot to mention Lawrence.
Yeah, we should mention Lawrence.
Because she's had a wonderful season. Been a credit to Carl Burke and his team. And, you know, she gets a little bit of weight from the colts as well. So she wouldn't be without a chance, that's for sure.
Yeah, she lowered the colours of Alpha Centauri last time, who was the superstar filly, really.
Yeah.
And she could do it with the superstar colt in Roaring Lion, I suppose.
Yeah, the only thing you'd take, and I'm not knocking Lawrence's performance, was that the filly she beat came back and injured. Was injured.
Yeah.
So, you know, she might not have run up to her best game on the day, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But you can still do nothing but win.
I say last time as well, that was two starts ago, wasn't it? Of course, she beat Happily in the Filly's Mile, didn't she, last time?
That's right.
Some Chariot, last time. So yeah, great Group 1 form for her. It's a cracking race, cracking card. All that to look forward to on Saturday. And of course, you'll hear the action live on William Hill Racing Radio. We're going to concentrate on matters a little close to hand, though, because we've got some good racing coming up on the Friday, a busy Friday in store. We're going to look at one jumps race and one flat race. And the first of them is the 3:25 at Wincanton, which is a 2 mile handicap hurdle. We've got a field of nine set to go to post for this one, Pimmy. And in the last few years, Colin Tizzard's had a winner of this. Paul Nichols has had a winner of this. They're both represented. Gary Moore's got one in there as well. You know, the good jumps trainers, well represented here, and good race to look forward to.
Oh, good race to look forward to. Good prize on offer as well, just short of 10 grand. So, you know, you'd expect a competitive renewal. Paul Nichols, I think, won it last year with Cliffs of Dover. He's represented by Volpone.
Gelois.
Gelois, exactly. Beautifully said. Oh, the French in you, my friend.
Oh,
oh, beautiful. anyway, he's been plying his trade on the flat of late, to be fair, this fella. He did win a bumper in the hands of Alexander Thorne last year, and he's sure to be a player, carrying 10 stone 13 on his back and supporting the pieces, with Alexander Thorne taking a valuable 7 off his back. But I'm going to look towards Lovato, who was a winner just 16 days ago. He won that race at Bangor with the cheap pieces on, and they've gone for the blinkers this time. So whether they felt he just wasn't quite concentrating enough with the cheap pieces and just giving him a bit more help with the blinkers remains to be seen. But I think that's more likely a positive, that they've gone for a little bit more substantial headgear than the cheap pieces. He's up £6 for that success. What surprised me more was that the runner-up, who he beat half a length, I think it was, he's gone up £5 for finishing second, poor old Red Hot Chili. So he's only a pound better off for a half a length beating. Can he reverse that form? I don't think he will be able to, because I'm hoping that the blinkers bring out a little bit more in Lovato.
It's one of the systems, isn't it, Pimmy? You go with a singer that you like, and you're a big fan of Demi Lovato, aren't you?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, she's fabulous, isn't she?
Lovato, the selection for Pimmy then in the 3:25 at Wincanton, and racing on the flat for his next pick, the 3:35 at Haydock, which is a 1 mile handicap. A field of 16 were declared. Unfortunately, we're down to 15, so that scuppers the each way angle a little bit. Well, it doesn't entirely, but we're down to three instead of four places. And it is an open heat, Pimmy, so help us out.
Very, very competitive, as you'd imagine. Again, another good prize on offer. I think the key to this race are the two horses that have been in cracking form of late. Jack Point Royale for Mick Appleby and Robert Winston, and Sod's Law for Hugh Morrison and Kieran O'Neill. One's looking for the four-timer. Other one's looking for a hat-trick. Jack Point Royale started his winning ways off a mark of 70. And he's up to 88 now. So, you know, he's taken a fair old hike in the weights.
Yep.
And justifiably so, because he's kept winning. And Sod's Law, well, he only started off 73. He's only got up £5 to 78. He's got his £6 penalty tomorrow. But I just think there might be a little case for him to eke out a little bit more tomorrow afternoon. And I think he can put the hat-trick of wins together. It's wide open. You can make a case for many of the others, such as, I thought, Vastar was interesting because he's tough and consistent for Brian Meehan. And Custom Cut, I thought, could be a player. He's a nine-year-old now, but I think the conditions at Haydock will suit him tomorrow. And again, he's knocked on the door without the door quite opening. But he could get a good run for your money from him.
But you go with Sod's Law.
Sod's Law, yeah.
And I know you're a great weights, measures and systems man and all that, Pimmy. And Lord Budden would tell you that three in a row is fine, which is what Jackpot Royale's done so far. Four's too many. So you go with the one that's chasing the hat-trick in Sod's Law.
You see, I'd go against that.
Would you?
I'd cast my mind back to Jew Hallow Tornado last
year.
Yeah,
yeah, of course,
with
yeah.
With his four-timer. The five-timer's the one we can't quite get.
Right,
yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's obviously your point-to-point runner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stroke
under chasing. Don't you be downing him now.
No, I won't.
Goodness gracious.
Apologies. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pim. It's been a pleasure as always.
My pleasure as well. And listener, keep tuned in for the weekend's racing. It's going to be absolutely fabulous, darling.
It is.
Do you watch it?
I don't, but
love it.
You'll be in your element, won't you, Saturday, Ascot and then Strictly.
Oh, it'll be marvellous. Me, the dogs.
Yeah.
And a bottle of wine.
Brilliant. That's Chris Pimlott then, giving us his thoughts on Friday and a look ahead to the weekend as well. You'll hear all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio. The show goes live at 1:35 on Friday. John Gibby, Ross Briley and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Haydock, Redcar, Fakenham and Wincanton in the afternoon, and Newcastle and Dundalk throughout the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.